Turn with me to Psalm 11. Psalm 11 states, "In the Lord," this is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, "in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." Father, we come before you this evening and ask that your Spirit would guide and direct us into all truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. With a week like this, all the political pundits are, I guess, punding and speaking on. I want to open this up with the question, what are they saying? What are some of the things that you have heard this week? If the foundation is destroyed, what do we do? What are you hearing?
Rely on men's wisdom.
What are they saying?
Foolishness.
That's the conclusion.
Self-dependence.
Yeah.
Revolution. Compromise.
Revolution. Yes, we had a very prominent person. Who is it?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. Say it's time for a revolution. So that was his answer to this. Because he is seeing what once was in our country being taken away in a radical fashion. And it seems like most, at least the majority of Americans, are fine with that. And so there's a huge split in how to deal with some financial, which have some moral overtones. And he says revolution. That's one response that I heard this week as well. What else? Colin?
I hear a lot of people saying that we should compromise what we believe because obviously we're too rigid, and that's why people are... I only heard one mainstream guy, you know, give a pretty right response and say that, you know, it's God is still in control. And, you know, that it's, you know, time of trial, but, you know, all things are for a purpose. And I only heard one mainstream guy say that. And everyone else is like, well, we should, you know, compromise what we believe. You know, I even heard a Republican guy say we should compromise our beliefs on gay marriage, you know, because it passed in 4 states.
Hmm.
You know, and they're saying a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, we should soften our stance on the whole abortion.
So if this is the direction that the country's going, and we're no longer able to win elections because this is the direction that the country is going, then we need to compromise. Maybe we're too outspoken in what we believe in, and maybe that's why we lost, right? Yes, compromise. And in the face of evil, that is always the temptation. You know, if this great tidal wave of evil is coming, and you know, if you can just soften, and the tidal wave is just going to be a little softer on you is the thought, right? And so compromise, yeah. So you have from one extreme revolution to the other extreme, well, let's just compromise and lay low. What else? Those are, yeah, the fear of man. You hear a lot of the fear of man. Just terrified of what's going to happen, right? Just we're all going to die. You know, the doom and the ultimate doom and gloom of it's over. You know, it is over. And because of this, because of what happened, you might as well just, you know, flee. Flee to the mountains, as Psalm 11 says. Yeah.
Obama's very hostile against God. He's pretty much he's pretty much saying, just forget God, basically.
Mm-hmm. Just like the rest of the country. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a vote against God. Pretty, I mean... What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have the king to rule over us like the other nations.
Yeah. A wicked king. Yeah. A dictator. Right, so we've heard a lot of thoughts this week. So, let me ask you this question. If the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Yeah. Rebuild the foundations. Cry out to God. Yeah, second Mayflower.
Preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel. What is meant by foundations? We say the foundations. What do we mean by that?
God's four principles of life. His commands. His commandments.
Yeah.
Scripture says it's Christ. Build your house on the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have Matthew 7, the Word of God. There's no other foundation that can be laid other than Christ.
And that foundation cannot be shaken.
That's right.
It cannot be broken. Man doesn't have the power of God.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That foundation cannot be broken. Society has its foundations, has its beliefs, has its mores, its principles that it believes in, and when those things get disrupted, when they no longer are believed and confessed and practiced, then that society ceases to exist as it once did. And so those foundations in our culture have been under ruthless attack from many directions. And so it is a time to consider these things, as we have been. Let's look and see how David answers this question. Let's look back to Psalm 11. Now, David starts out this with an affirmation of trust in Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, in the Lord. I put my trust. So literally, in Yahweh, He is my refuge. Yahweh is my refuge. The God who is, He is the one I will look to as my refuge. He is where I get my security. He is where I get my strength. He is where I get my safety. The Lord is my safety net. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is the one who's going to see me through. The Lord is going to be the one who's going to protect me and keep me, is going to keep me alive through famine. He's saying all these things, all the things that David would have faced. And he faced a lot as a king, didn't he? You know, could have been at a time when he was running from Saul. Could have been at a time when his son Absalom revolted against him. And we don't know exactly when this was written. But David had a lot of pressure on him, didn't he? He had a lot of pressure as a king, or even his when he was... But from the time he was ordained or anointed, from the time he actually was recognized as king, he had a lot going on. He had a lot of pressure in his life. A lot of reasons why he could compromise. Okay? But he says, he starts this out with saying, in the Lord, I put my trust. Okay? Now he's saying, I put my trust. He's speaking to someone. He's having a dialogue. And he's talking to the person that we're going to get who's trying to encourage David to soften a little bit. Okay? And he's going to explain why. How can you say to my soul? So he's answering his critics by addressing their concerns to him. How can you say to me, to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? So there were those who were saying to David, David, is it time to flee yet? David, is it time to flee? And that's something I've heard, maybe not as much this week, but I've heard it a lot. When do we flee America? Right? And you can go and you can find people that have fled America. They're locked up in a hole somewhere in their bunker. And, you know, I believe the scripture. You know, when they persecute you, you flee to the next city. That's when you flee. When they come and persecute you, the Bible says, at that point, you flee to the next city. Well, if you see that they're coming to persecute you, yeah, maybe you should get out before they get there. When is that time? That's the only time to flee, right? I mean, I would say it is not time to flee, okay? David says, I put my trust in the Lord. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I mean, that's sometimes what we feel like doing, fleeing. So the first response here is we could flee, right? We could flee. And David is not advocating that at all. He's saying, how can you say this? How can you say to me, my soul, in light of the fact that my trust is in the Lord, okay, how can you say flee? That's going the wrong direction. The mountains are going to save me? Who's going to save me out? Who's going to keep me safe up there? You're going to cling to the side of a mountain? No. Yahweh is my mountain. The Lord is my rock. Okay? He will save me. Oh, how about this one? Here's the next one then. Look. Okay, so the first one is to speak to your sense of safety, be afraid, flee. Okay? The next one is look. Look at all the bad stuff that's happening, David. Here's two reasons why you should, why your faith in what you're doing should be shaken. Okay? Because of what's happening. Look at this. For the wicked bend their bow. They, you know, when you're in war, and you're close enough to see the enemy's bow bend, right? That means it's coming. He's not saying you can see the enemy on the mountain. He's not saying they're coming up the hillside. He's saying, no, their bow is bending. That means this. Their hand is on the trigger. That would be the equivalent, all right? They've taken the safety. I don't know, the military weapons probably don't have safeties, do they? Huh? Do they? Okay. Well, the safety is off then, and their finger is on the trigger. That's what they're saying here. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Okay? So this isn't even in the daytime. You know, night strikes are the most terrifying. Right? Night strikes. Because you can't even see where they are at. So they're lurking in the shadows. Their bow is bent. You are in their crosshairs. Their finger is on the trigger. Look at this, David. Don't you see all the problems? Don't you see what's going on? You look at the demographics. Look at the problems. Look at the rise of promiscuity. Look at the rise of homosexuality. Look at all the wicked laws that are on the books. Look how righteousness is falling in the street. Look at the freedoms that we're losing left and right. Don't you see all these problems? Don't you think it's time to flee yet? To make matters worse, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Don't you see that the wicked have overcome and they have destroyed the foundations? David, it's time to flee. Man of God, it's time to flee. So this quote, who is speaking this quote? I would say this is the faithless quote. This isn't coming from a righteous perspective. The ESV has the quotation marks from flee all the way down to the end of verse 3, which is where I would put the quotation marks. The New King James has just that, this the phrase, flee as a bird to your mountain. But I would put the quotes all the way down to the end of verse 3. The NASB has it down there too. So, kind of puts a little different perspective on that phrase, doesn't it? We really lift that phrase out of its context and drop it into our life and saying, hey, the foundation is destroyed, what should we do? When really, David already answered the question when he said, in the Lord I put my trust. The Lord is my foundation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, David is affirming his faith in God. The foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? The foundations can never be destroyed. The solid foundation stands. And that's how David answers this. Look how David answers the question in the text. Okay? He simply says this. God is. God is. Yahweh is in His holy temple. And so, if someone says to you, the foundations are being destroyed, what should the righteous do? God is. Right? Okay? You got it? God is. And they have not destroyed God. And they will never destroy God. The wicked will rage, and they will plot a vain thing against the Lord and against His Messiah. The Lord laughs at them. As like a bunch of ants piling together, crowning a king, and trying to take over a herd of elephants. Or trying to take over you. I know how to kill ants. Organically. I finally figured it out. Boiling water. That's all you do. You take a shovel full of dirt, and I'll take a shovel full of dirt out, not a lot of ants, or I'll take that dirt way far away, and that removes them so they can't hide in the dirt, okay? And then as the sun goes down, they all go to that, in their nest, and they're open, they're bare, because they have all their little caves, I just took all their caves out. And you take some boiling hot water and pour it on them, and you scorch them. I had a problem with ants in my garden, so I didn't want to, put all these dangerous chemicals in there. But that would be ridiculous for an ant to take over a person, right?
Unless the person is stupid. You can't do that yourself?
I don't know. But the foundation stands. Okay? Why? Because the Lord is in His holy temple. Now, what does that mean for us? The Lord is in His church. Oh, now someone may say, well, the Lord did. The Lord did. The temple did fall, didn't it? The temple did fall. And I think we can learn from that, because the temple did fall. Why did it fall? Did it fall because the wicked were so wicked? No, it fell because of apostasy, and it was in line with God's judgment. So this does not mean that apostasy can remove the foundation from a nation. I do believe, Revelation says, repent, let them remove your lampstand. Church history teaches this. What happened in Turkey? What happened in these many Muslim nations? They were once cradles of Christianity. But compromise got into those churches. And they lost the gospel. And they lost their ethics and morality. They lost their confidence, their faith in Christ. Okay? And God has removed their lampstands for hundreds of years. So God can remove the foundation, but the wicked can't. God can remove the foundation. When I talk about the foundation is the knowledge of God. When I say foundation, I'm talking about the knowledge of God. The central focus is the total supremacy of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. That's the bedrock, right? There's no foundation laid than anyone can lay, and that foundation is Christ. And so God can remove the knowledge of God from a people. Why? In an act of judgment. And He did that with His temple because of their rebellion. And He sent them out into the Babylonian captivity. But God also brought in a restoration, and He brought them back into the land. He judged them out. Why? Because they brought idols into the temple. They brought whoredom into the temple. Why is there judgment in America? There's judgment in America because we have brought idols into the church. We brought a false gospel into the church. We brought immorality into the church. People that are confessing the knowledge of God are talking about the most wicked, vile things. This ought not be. And you better believe, when we hear that stuff, we better not think we need to compromise, and we better not think we need to have a revolution in that sense. What we need is to be bold and firm and speak the truth and love and the gospel. And not flinch to say it is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Okay? To have someone in the ministry who's a homosexual is an abomination to God. And you know what? So is someone who's having an affair. Someone who's having an affair, a pastor who's having an affair, is an abomination before God. You just can't wink at these things. These things ought not be, and they must be dealt with. And churches aren't dealing with them. They're slipping them under the carpet, they're sliding around, and they're embracing it. And that's why there's reason for great judgment. But know this for sure. God in the midst of that happening, we learn from the nation of Israel that God judges that, but God also restores it. When those foundations are laid bare, right? Everybody can see we're in trouble. After they were in the Babylonian captivity, everyone could see we're in trouble. Right? That note was gone. You know, before Nebuchadnezzar showed up, no, we're going to be saved, Jeremiah. We're going to be saved. It's going to be okay. Peace and prosperity is going to come back. Right? And they said that until the day Nebuchadnezzar came in and killed them. Okay, I guess that's not our option anymore. Okay? That's kind of where we're at. We're getting killed. We're losing our children. We have no power. Most of the children raised in evangelical homes are leaving the faith. The divorce rate amongst Christians is, you know, all the depressing statistics. Higher than if you're in the world. You know, all that stuff. What is up with all that stuff? It says that God is laying bare the foundation and He's showing the churches, you're not on it. We're not on the foundation. We're not living with consistent Christianity. Consistent with Christ and the gospel and the Word of God as the foundation. And that's why the salt and light is just being treaded under the foot of men. And the church is marginalized. God brings that judgment. But in a time when God brings that judgment, what does God also bring? He brings a revival. He brings restoration. He brings a time when they lay down that foundation. Just in that after that 70 years, and that remnant came back. And they laid that foundation again. And the old men wept because they remembered what it was like. And it was not even close to the glory that once was. But the young men rejoiced because God was among them and God was working. So it is with us. As we're seeing these foundations being laid bare, we are experiencing a time of great revival and reformation. Back to Scripture alone to live our life. And that's reason for hope. Hope in God. Because God is in His church. God is in His church. Christ said very clearly in Matthew 18. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I will build. You're Peter. I will. Let me go there. Matthew 16. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Keys to the kingdom. Scripture says, my Father, it's my good Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. We've been given the keys of the kingdom. That foundation doesn't crumble. The most intense heat can be on that foundation and it will not crumble. The building can be built on that and it will not fall. Do you understand that? Consistent Christianity is always the answer. To have a biblical worldview in all that you say and do is always and only the only answer and the only hope. Now, once you build a Christian culture, sometimes you forget the foundation. You're not aware, and that becomes a problem. Then you just, oh, what a beautiful building, but we forget the foundation. We're not thinking about, oh, Mr. Dales, how's your foundation here, right? But if this foundation would go, we'd all go. We'd all be in a heap of trouble because it holds up everything. So here it is. David says, here's the foundation. I'm trusting in God. He's my refuge, right? The Lord is in His temple. For us, we say, the Lord is in His church. The Lord is not done with His church. The Lord is reviving His church. He's rising up the foundation of many generations. He's giving us hope. He's giving us a plan. He's showing us how to live in the gospel, to understand the gospel, to train up our children in the ways of the Lord, and to teach the gospel to the disobedient and the rebellious. We have the answer. We can go into the marketplace of ideas and say, you know what? This is something that no one is saying. No one is saying this on the airwaves, whether conservative or liberal. Knowing it, no one is really saying that we're in this mess because we've forgotten God. They're not really saying it. That is our message. And that is a message that we, the church, need to get out there. Why are we in... It's not just this and this. And I think the reason is because we get away from our rooting our hope in the gospel and we hope in other things. We hope in Romney, or we hope in this, or we hope in this senator, or that, or all these other things, rather than what God says. And when we hope in someone who is not hoping where we're hoping, that steals our hope. Does that make sense? It steals the hope. It's a compromise, right? Our hope is in the Lord. The godly shall see it and they'll rejoice. Those are men that I want to be around, right? Those are men that we want to govern with. Men that have who fear God and keep His commandments. That's what needs to be happening. That's the only hope for the home. That's the only hope for pastors through God to raise up shepherds that will have that same heart. And it's the only hope for anywhere, politics. So how do we get here? We've lost the knowledge of God. And Hosea reminds us, if you forget God, I'll forget your children. Without the knowledge of God, there's simple and quick destruction. But with the knowledge of God, there's always hope. There's always true hope. So David says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. How are you going to touch that one? No, God is always in the business of rising up one nation and putting down another. That's not new. That's been going on from the beginning of time. Right? God wiped out the whole civilization in Noah's flood. He took out, He raised up the Chaldeans, Babylonian, Nebuchadnezzar for His purpose as His rod of chastisement. And then He takes them down. And He rises up the next nation. And He takes that nation down. And He rises up the next nation. And He takes that nation down. He is sovereign in the affairs of man. Okay? And America is no different.
Right.
Our God is in the heaven. Amen? Our God is in the heaven. Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 115. We must always remember that God is sovereign over all these things. The sovereignty of God. I'm so glad I'm a Christian when I hear all this stuff. You know, I have the answers. And my faith only grows through this stuff. Because, as the scripture says, Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. And you know what? If He wanted to judge us with Obama, our God is in heaven. He does what He pleases. Right? But remember, all people that are trusting in man are trusting in a vain hope. You could call it a form of idolatry. Trusting in something other than God. Right? And so at least with Obama, we don't have to worry about people trying to trust in a conservative who's not really all that conservative. Trust in someone who is, well, at least he's got religion, but is a complete secular, humanistic religion to the core that is anti to anything of the God in the Bible. At least we don't have that to deal with. Right? I don't know if it's better or worse. I think it's either, when I went to vote, I thought, well, I kind of feel like I'm going to a funeral. That's really how I felt. I never really felt like, I feel like I'm walking into a funeral dirge. But either way, the point is this. Idols don't save you. They're mere men. Right? They're mere men. And I do have a renewed desire to really pray for Obama. You know, pray God's blessing on him. Pray what the scripture says to pray. He's just a man like we are. Right? We need to pray for him. We need to have compassion on him. And we need to pray for him. That God, the Bible says the heart of the king is in God's hand. He directs it like the rivers of water. And so our God is in the heaven. He does whatever He pleases. People will say, so where is your God? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Okay, let's talk about this a minute. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Don't trust in them. What in the world are you trusting in that idol for? It can't do you any good.
Amen.
Right? Don't buy into this stuff. Okay? Obama's economy. Like one man can change the whole economy. Right? Hello? What drives the economy? Isn't it God who rises up a nation and puts down a nation? Could it be that we're actually in this place because God is judging the nation? And as we talk about this and we fight against this, we're fighting against what God is doing. And to say that one man is going to save us, that's ludicrous. It's not his economy any more than it is the Fed's economy. Any more than it is, it is not right to put these idols in the place and say that they will trust us, that they will save us, that their policies will help. Okay? Now, I'm not against policy and sound wisdom that's based on God's Word. God's Word always works. It works because it's true, and it's always true. Therefore, we know it will do what God wants it to do. But it's rooted in the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. If you try to detach wisdom applications from the fear of the Lord, from who God is, it will never work. It may last you a little longer in some of your applications on earth. But if you do not know God, and God is not the center of all that you do, if you do not say and walk in the fear of the Lord, if we do not make every decision conscious of what Scripture teaches us in the fear of the Lord, then it's for naught. And God will overthrow it. It's hypocrisy. It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Not the knowledge of polls and polling data. Who cares what the polls say? Oh, it's interesting to understand. But it is not the root of our ethics. The root of our ethics is one thing. What does God say? That's our message. And that is you understand the devil's design in this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil's is designed, all of this stuff, whether conservative or liberal, to keep that message from getting out. And I think it's the conservative end that's been more successful in hushing up Christians. To say, okay, you want to talk politics? Here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What saith the Scriptures? That's where we need to go in all of these discussions. What does the Scripture say about this subject? And you better believe we need to start the subject right here in this room. Right here with how we govern ourselves. Right here with how we walk with Christ. Right here with how we train up our children and love our wives. That's where it starts. Love our brothers in the church. That's the foundation right there. Look what the Scripture says. Oh Israel, trust in the Lord. You see the themes here? Don't trust here, but trust here. Don't do this, but do this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. There is the blessing for those who fear God. Why do you have any hope for the future? Because God said He blesses those who fear Him. That's why. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. That verse is very dear to my heart. What do you want more? What do you want on earth to see? I want to see increase being given to me and my family and to you and your family more and more. Well, the Scripture says that He will give you increase more and more. That's incremental. It's step by step to you and your children. God is doing something and He's establishing households. He's growing families. He's establishing churches. And the gospel is being proclaimed around the world. And the gospel is spreading in some nations faster now with more fervency than it has in generations. Things are changing on the global scene. In the 1040 window that when I was a kid, it was locked down. Now the gospel is spreading there like wildfire. Praise be to God. The word of God goes unhindered. Let us see the great picture of God. God is the victor. He'll give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. So, In the Lord I put my trust. Psalm 11. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Here's your answer. God is. The Lord is in His holy temple. We understand. We know He's in the church. The Lord's throne is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. He is the sovereign Lord. Trust in Him. So God is, God sees. His eyes behold. He doesn't miss one note. He doesn't miss one piece of voter fraud. Okay? He doesn't miss one piece. He sees it all. And He knows the motives of the heart. His eyes behold. And He is, and He sees, and He acts. And this is what the Lord does. He tests the sons of men. Literally, the sons of Adam. And this is really what the great fear of the postmodern man is, that God is going to do something about what He has said. Okay? And we know, because we see His hand of providence. For one thing, everybody dies. Their life is but a vapor. Okay? Their life is but a vapor. And so, it's only a matter of moments until you enter into judgment before God. God says He tests. He tests everybody. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. Okay, there's a contrast there. He tests the righteous, the main verb, the righteous and the wicked. But the wicked, He does this with. The wicked and the one who loves violence, God's inner person, His soul, hates. Those who love wickedness, His soul hates. And that's very important for us to get a very clear view of the fear of the Lord. Because there are those who are confessing Christ and saying, you don't have to be so rigid. You can just get along and go with the flow. You know, God hates that. God hates that. Do you not know that friendship with the world is what?
Enmity with God.
Enmity with God. You want to make yourself a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And they'll look at you and say, well, what kind of God do you serve? That's not the God I serve. And you say, I was afraid of that. You need to know the God I serve. Because the God that you serve has more to do with your own imagination and your own feelings than the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible says that He hates wickedness. He hates the wicked. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, His soul hates. That's strong language. Okay? You know, this is what the Scripture says. Now God is going to do something too about the wicked. You know, He acts. What perverted nation exists to this day? Think of all the perverted nations and how they get covered over by sand. Covered over with fire and brimstone. Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The great empire of Rome. If you lived in the day of Rome, and it had a pretty big span, right? And you knew that Rome was going to be nothing. You know, no one would believe you. If you go back in time, Rome is, hey, I've been there. It's just a pile of rocks. Be like, what are you talking about? Look at the power and strength of Rome. Rome fell. You know, and all this stuff will too. It will be shown for what it is. The Roman perversion was shown for what it is. Okay? The church outlasted it because it was founded on the rock. So God overthrows it. Upon the wicked, He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. So you do well to remember that. Don't ever switch evil for good and good for evil. Because we know their end, and it is wicked. I mean, we know their end, and it is God's judgment. The wicked are judged by the judgment of God. So we, therefore, should not fear them. Okay? Should you fear them? No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Do we need to think we need to have a revolt, a revolution? No. We need to just repent of our sins and do what David did. We need to trust in the Lord. We have our trust in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is righteous and loves righteousness. It's pretty simple. The Bible is so simple. Okay, the more I study Scripture, the more I just get tired of all of the mysticism and all of the stuff that, well, it's not really righteous, and it doesn't really mean that you actually have to believe it and do it. It's just there to do something other than that. It's just to tell you about God, but it's not really binding, and it's just, no, God is righteous and God loves righteousness. He gives you righteousness as a gift in Christ that was bought at Calvary's cross, and He loves righteousness. He enjoys when you walk in the light as He is in the light. Okay, that means just simply by faith, obey Him. The Lord is righteous, and He loves righteousness. Now, this next verse, the New King James says, His countenance beholds the upright. I think a better translation, they will see His face. They will see His face. For the Lord is righteous, and He loves righteousness, and the righteous, they will see His face. That's literally what that says in the Hebrew. They, the righteous, will see His face. So what do we gain? We get to walk with God. We get to walk with God. Is He going to try us through this? Yeah. But He gives us what we need. There's one foundation, and that foundation's been laid. Can that be destroyed? No. Does this teach that it's destroyed? No. This is the faithless naysayers. That David's saying, no, foundation's not destroyed. My trust is in God. You need to have a better perspective here. God is. He is in the church. Okay? And there is no foundation that can be laid. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 3. He uses the foolishness of what? Preaching. To do what? Annihilate the wisdom of this world. He uses the foolishness of the things preached to annihilate. He chose, He elects that the message of the cross would annihilate, would bring down the wisdom. That the crafty are caught in their craftiness. How? By the simple proclamation of the gospel. That you're a sinner according to God's law and you know it in your heart. They all know it and you know it. Right? The law of the Lord is perfect. It brings that converting work to the soul. And Jesus Christ is the only answer for that. He dies, sheds His blood, and rose again. He uses the simple proclamation of the gospel to catch the craftiness, the crafty, that they're trying to do all these tricks and all these shenanigans to gain and keep power because they're just a fleeting breath and they know that. But our God is in heaven. He chooses the foolishness of the message preached. He lays the foundation in Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The only thing you need to fear for your children is if they reject God. Right? Your children reject God? Yeah, there's some terror there. But if your children and my children and my children's children, by the grace of God, build on the foundations, the gates of hell cannot come against that. The worst for them could be martyrdom. And what a glorious thing that is in God's sight. So, we have this hope. We love a God who loves righteousness and promises that we will see His face. Blessed are the pure in heart. Right? You'll see God. Walk with God. We'll see God. That means this. That as God gives you and your children increase more and more, we'll see God open up doors as we trust in Him when the wicked are being spread all around, and even they may gather in power and do some things for a period of time. But he who trusts in the Lord will see God move. And you'll see God move in your lifetime. I remember when I was a kid, and the Iron Curtain was such an iron curtain, wasn't it? But in our lifetime, we saw that thing come down. That was an act of God. That was God taking the wicked foundation that they tried to lay over Christ. And you know, there were brothers and there were sisters and they were met, I was at some of those churches. They were meeting, some in secret, some in not so secret, when they were forbidden to pray and they were praying openly for the demise of communism. And it fell. And the gospel's being spread there now. There's other lies there too that they have to condemn with that they didn't have under communism. But God ripped open that country and said, no more of this stuff. And He just wiped it away. That's what our God does. So this stuff is not set in stone. The wicked cannot set anything in stone. They can change things and they can make your life uncomfortable. Okay? But only God can set it in stone. And what does our God set in stone? Righteousness. Christ. The gospel. He promises that He will judge the wicked for their wickedness. But for those who love righteousness, He will love. And this is by His grace in Christ, the sacrifice that He made for us on Calvary's cross. And we have the opportunity now to come and to seek His face. Amen? That's why I have hope. That's why I have all the hope in God. All the hope that God can give. That no matter what happens in this nation, this is where I'm plugged in. Okay? This is where we're plugged in. We're going to build on the rock. We are building on the rock. Okay? And God's teaching us not to build on other shifting sands. Pull your buildings off and your hope off of all of the shifting sands and build them on the rock. Amen. And he's gonna discipline and lovingly chasten you and me when we do. Amen? And this is part of it. God is sovereign. Amen? This is part of it. Let's learn from this and let's grow from this. We all trust the money too much. Okay? So maybe we need a little less money. I don't know. Okay? This paper anyway. Maybe we need some help here. So God's teaching us not to trust in this stuff. Trust in the rock. Build on the rock. And there God will make a way for you to flourish. For churches to flourish. We are in a perfect opportunity for the gospel to really impact these lives around us. Okay? Because people are going to see more and more just how bankrupt. Because humanism will fail. It always does. Humanism eats itself. It's just a matter of time. Okay? You can't keep doing this. It makes no sense. It's completely illogical. It's fancy fairy tale land. It's sprinkling fairy dust and hoping for something good to come out of it. It's ludicrous. We can see that, right? It will fail. The question is this. As it's failing, we're supposed to be building. See, we're supposed to be building on Christ and the rock so that as it fails, we don't get sucked down into the vortex with the whole system, right? We're to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Our hope is in God. Our trust is in God. Our ethics are in God. That means we have men that fear God and that we have men. While men are dying, right? While men are perverted, whether it being the game boy, the lazy boy, the playboy, and perverting themselves, what are we doing? We're getting back and finding the law of God and saying, wow, we're learning what it's like to be men. And we're raising our sons from earlier ages to be men. And they want to be men. And they want to be manly men that do manly things, that engage in the gospel commission to take dominion of the earth and see God's kingdom come. Amen?
Amen.
And boys, those are the kind of churches. And wouldn't you have it? God is springing up churches across this nation that are doing that. Hearts of fathers are turning to their sons, and sons are saying, yeah, I want to be a man of God. And while their peers are getting, they're in all the fluff and stuff. They're in all the gaming and all the whatever they're messing around their brains with, right? Same with the ladies. Ladies want to be, they want to be in the style, they want to be cool, they want to be liked, they want to be independent and autonomous, and they want to have careers, they want to be feminist, they want to have boyfriends and all these shenanigans, right? And they're ruining their souls. We're seeing a generation of women. I want to be women. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a helper to my father and to my future husband. Amen? Yeah. That's what God's giving us that. That's a gift of God. That's a gift of God. And so while all the sirens are going off and things are plunking, there's a narrow way. And as we do that, we're on that foundation. And that foundation is Christ, strengthening marriages. Husbands loving their wives. Wives loving their husbands. Submitting to their husbands, right? Churches being strengthened. Shepherds who are actually shepherding the flock. Pulling out of all of the deceptions that are out there. The fields are certainly white unto harvest. You know, this is not the time to pull back. This is the time to go full throttle into what God has said. Don't ever forget Psalm 11, okay? You're going to hear that phrase, what do the righteous do? And remember, what does the text say? David says he's going to trust in the Lord, right? Our God is in heaven. He's in the church. He takes care of the wicked, okay? He loves righteousness. You know what? That's how we build on the foundation. It's been given to us. It can't be destroyed. No man can destroy it, right? It's been given to us as a free gift of God. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Let us draw near to Him. Let us abide in Him. And let us bear the fruit that He would have us to bear. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we have this opportunity now to gather here and pray as men, to seek Your face and Your face alone. Oh, I pray Your Spirit would move mighty on us. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to contend for the faith that's been once delivered to the saints. I pray over this church, Lord. I pray, God, that You knit our hearts together in love. God, grant us a Holy Spirit revival, a Holy Spirit time of awakening, Lord, us deeper convictions. Lord, take this Psalm 11 and put it deeper in our psyche, in our soul, in our heart, in our mind, in our strength, Lord. Lord, if there's a hidden sin that needs to come out, Lord, bring it out. Bring it to the light that we can walk in the light as You are in the light, Lord. I confess my lack of faith at times. What a foolish thing to ever lack faith, God. May we have faith in You and trust in You, always on the bedrock of Christ, Lord. Raise up the foundation of many generations, I pray in Jesus' name. We pray for this Phoenix Valley, Lord God. You've sent us here for this purpose, for such a time as this, to root in, to push roots down, to bear forth fruit, to plant churches, to make disciples, oh God. We pray this in Christ's name. We pray for to disciple the nations, to bring healing to the nations, Lord, to understand with wisdom, Lord, to understand the fear of the Lord and who You are and who God is and how that relates to the issues of the day, and that we bridge that with wisdom that is rooted and grounded in You. Oh, open the eyes of our hearts, our brothers' hearts, Lord. Teach us, God, to love one another. May love increase among the brothers, among the sisters, in our homes, Lord God, in this church, Lord. Help us to reach out and to reach in and to reach over, Lord, as we reach to You, as we hang on to You, as we abide on You. Oh God, we can do nothing without You, but in You, we can be more than conquerors, Father. We thank You for giving us Your good word, and I pray these things. I thank You for the blessing that You've given us. I thank You for these good years that You've given us. I thank You for placing us and positioning us here and for such a time as this that we can rest in You. We can run to You. You are our strong tower, and we thank You, and we give You all praise and glory. God, teach us now, guide and direct this prayer time. You are the head of Your church. We submit to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray.